Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, October 23rd, 2011.
The outline that I'm going to use this morning is one that I've preached from a number of years ago. Some of you may remember, some of you may not. Nevertheless, the truth of the verses that we're going to consider this morning, they're worth repeating. We need to constantly be reminded just how blessed we are as the children of God. Since we're going to enjoy a wonderful meal today, after the service, I want us to consider several passages in the Bible that use banquets and meals as an analogy of the privileges and the joys that are ours because we are members of the family of God. But before you can benefit from any analogy that you find in Scripture, you have to understand the natural picture that's being painted for you and the traits and the characteristics that are being highlighted and stressed. And so let's look at the joys, the blessings, the privileges of natural meals. And in this case, we're looking at a banquet. The first thing that you think of, the first thing that I think of at least, when you think of a meal being shared with someone else, and this is the thought, it's not just sitting down and eating by yourself. Many of you have to do that often, but you know how much joy and pleasure you get when you have someone that you can sit down and eat a meal with. And that aspect of a meal is one of fellowship, one of peace. You very seldom see peace talks taking place over a meal, do you? You won't find the Israelis sitting down with the Palestinians over lunch. It's not going to happen. They will have meetings, hopefully, from time to time, but a meal represents there's something in common there. There's something that is mutually held in common with the other. And it has to do with a relationship and with that common bond, whether it be family, friends, or even business, but some common bond. And this is something that we immediately want to acknowledge about a meal and about a banquet. Also, when you sit down to eat, and as you will notice when we all sit down out here, and right before everybody sits down to eat, you'll hear a lot of commotion. And every now and then you'll hear a little laugh that rises above the crowd and the talking. And it's just an atmosphere of joy. At least I hope that's what we have, and usually is the case. And you kind of hear that, the joy that comes from a banquet like this, a gathering. And then when everybody's eating, things do quiet down a little bit until everybody's done eating. And then afterwards, if you kind of look around, you might see someone, especially some of us older men, kind of pat our stomach and say, I'm full. Just kind of lean back. All of that is characteristic of a banquet. Joy, peace, satisfaction, fellowship around the table. These are the things that God wants us to understand He has provided for us in the spiritual realm. We enjoy them in a measure in the natural when we sit down to share a meal. Again, whether it be friends or family or business associates on another level or scale. But at some point, we all know what that's like to share that meal. Let's open this morning with Luke chapter 14, where we are given a picture by Jesus Himself of the invitation of the gospel is like an invitation to a banquet for the very reasons that we have mentioned, that we might have fellowship with God, that we might have joy unspeakable and full of glory, that we would have a peace that passes understanding, that we would understand what it means to be full and satisfied with what God has intended for us in this life and for eternity. That invitation and all of those blessings of the gospel begin with this invitation and certainly the acceptance of this invitation. But in Luke 14, verses 16 to 24, let's read Jesus' description here of the blessings of the gospel. Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see to it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. So then the master said to the servant, Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who are invited shall taste my supper. The invitation of the gospel here is clearly compared to a rich man who sends out an invitation to a very great banquet. For Israel, this parable is a parable of judgment, because they are represented by those that were invited to come but who refused to come and made excuses why they could not come. So for Israel, this parable was a sad parable of judgment. But for everyone else, for the Gentiles, for those who would say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ and the invitation that he has given us, it is a glorious invitation to all the blessings and the benefits of the gospel. The first invitation goes out and says there's going to be a supper. Then there's actually a second invitation with this parable in accordance with the custom of the day. And that was the supper's ready. The first one, there's going to be a supper. The second one, the supper's ready. Come and get it. This again applies to Israel, who had so many prophets that said the Messiah is coming. Over and over again, there's going to be a banquet. They knew it was coming. And then when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him, what did John say? Behold the Lamb of God. Supper's ready. Here comes the one that was promised. There were excuses made by many in Israel. Those same excuses are being made today to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Business. I bought some land. Oxen. You know, I have too many responsibilities. I've got things to do. A wife. You know, I've got a family. I've got to worry about my family. I don't have time to worry about my spiritual life or their spiritual life. We got to live right now, here and now. The same excuses are being made. People are too busy. People have too many responsibilities to consider their own spiritual condition. They're too busy to understand just how gracious it is for the Creator of heaven and earth to be so gracious to say, I want you to enjoy everything I am and everything I have. We're talking about the one who created this universe. We take so many things for granted. But our Creator says, I've prepared so many good things for you. And yet the human race is just too busy to even acknowledge their Creator. What a privilege we have been given. Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. All his wealth he offers us through the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. Man is spiritually poor and destitute. God is rich in life, rich in forgiveness, mercy, and righteousness. And he sets it all out there for us like a banquet. He says, I've made all the preparations. You don't have to do anything. Just come and partake. Everything's ready. The salvation that is offered by the gospel of Jesus Christ is full and it's free. But you have to say yes to the invitation. You have to acknowledge your need. In Isaiah 55 verses 1 and 2, Ho, listen up everyone. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. The lost are indulging themselves in what they think is the feast of the world. But it never satisfies. It gives no health. It gives no strength. It gives no life. And they spend all of their money and their time and their resources and their health running after all of those things. When the Creator of heaven and earth says, I have what you need. Come and accept it by faith in my Son, Jesus Christ. There's a spiritual hunger and a thirst in man that cannot be satisfied with anything else but faith in Jesus Christ. Even when man fills himself on all the natural material blessings and wealth of the world, there's still within them this hunger and this thirst. Theologians call it the God void. The Bible simply refers to it as spiritual thirst, spiritual hunger. This is why the banquet is such a good picture of the invitation of the gospel. Before you would accept such an invitation, what do you have to do? You have to understand you're hungry. Yeah, I could use something, D. The necessity of food, food for life. We need the eternal life that's found only by faith in Jesus Christ. But just like today, Christy, we just have bread and butter today, right? Is that all we're feeding? That's all you need. I mean, you know, to live. I think there's some water. We've got bread and water and some butter. So I hope you're all happy. Well, we'd live, wouldn't we? We would live. But I look, there's more than that out there. There's an abundance of good things to eat. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Yes, he is the bread of life. He is that everlasting water that we need that gives us eternal life. He is bread and water. But he's so much more than that. He says, I've got everything you need to be fat, to be full, to be satisfied. This is what we are invited to when we are invited to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1 and verse 3. 1 John 1 and 3. Jesus' disciple John, he writes these words. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote that we are called to fellowship with the Son. Easy words to read, simple words, fellowship with God. Saints, take time to meditate on that truth, to share, to interact, to reciprocate with the Almighty, the All-Wise God. And as you begin to understand what all's involved when we're invited to sit down at the table, we're invited to sit down no longer as his enemy, and not just a friend, but as his child. To enjoy his very nature, everything he is and everything he has. What a privilege it is to be saved. Saints, have you thanked the Lord lately for salvation? Oh, Brother Doug, I'm too spiritual. I'm way past being saved. Oh, my. Thank God for eternal life. Thank God my sins are forgiven. I've had the bread and water. Thank God for that. I was hungry. I was thirsty. All of those who reject this invitation, instead of being part of that banquet feast, they're going to be separated from God forever. There are a lot of pictures and ideas and imagination about what hell is. What makes hell, hell, is that God won't be there. If you've never responded to the invitation of God's banquet of salvation, it's time to stop making excuses. Recognize your need and say yes. You may be full on everything else, but you won't stay satisfied. Only Jesus can satisfy that longing in your soul. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, being reconciled to God, you know, that's only the first course of this banquet. He's got so much more. And that's what we want to look at today as those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're still at the banqueting table. We're still rejoicing in the benefits of our fellowship, our relationship with God. He is our Father. But he has so much for us. Let's go to Proverbs 9, where we see the analogy continue. But this time it has to do with not only the wisdom of salvation, but wisdom for anything and everything you need in life. Saints, have you realized that life is complicated? There are so many choices out there, and it seems like they keep adding more to the choices. They all lead to the very same old place, but they dress it up in new ways. We need wisdom for life. As the children of God, we need to know how to walk in this life. We need to know how to live, how to relate to one another, how to relate to the lost, how to relate to others. We need that wisdom, and we need to understand that God has supplied it. But just like that first course of salvation, we have to acknowledge that there is more, we have to want more, and we have to sit down and eat it. We have to take it in. Proverbs 9, 1 through 6 tells us about this banquet of wisdom. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. Now, of course, you realize that to respond and accept this invitation, you have to acknowledge something. I'm a spiritual simpleton. I don't have what it takes to run my own life. And when this one who is the source of all wisdom, the one who, when we think of Jesus Christ, everything, every molecule that makes up the things that we see and the things we don't see, everything is held together by his very existence, by his very presence, by his very life. This is the wisdom we're invited to sit down and partake of. That's no small invitation. What a valuable treasure is ours. James 1 and verse 5 to the New Testament, we have this promise. Just as the banquet was prepared freely by wisdom, here we are told that if you will just ask, you will receive it. The wisdom you need for today, the wisdom you need for decisions, spirit, soul, and body, today you will have if you will call upon the Lord. James 1 and verse 5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all how? Liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask. When you're sitting down at the table today and you're getting ready to eat your roll, and the butter's about three or four people down from you, you know what you need to do? Kids, don't knock the person over next to you to get to it and reach across. What do you say? Could you please pass the butter? Could you please pass the butter? What do you need from the Lord? Have you asked him? Have you rudely demanded of him? Or have you said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Show me. In a way that honors you. But I want us to read Proverbs 19 for you to understand that we can be so spiritually lazy that the banquet of the wisdom of God can be laid out before us and we are too lazy to put our hand in and to take it for ourselves and to benefit from it and to become strong and wise. Proverbs 19 and verse 24. I'll read from the New American Standard that reads it this way. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and he will not even bring it to his mouth. Now that's a silly picture, isn't it? But I've known many, many Christians that have had opportunity to hear the Word of God, to know the will of God, and because they are so spiritually lazy, they never put it to their mouth. They never let it become part of who they are. They never let it begin to transform them and give them the strength and the wisdom. It doesn't become a part of their walk. And saints, may we never be so lazy. Because no matter how good and abundant the provision of the wisdom of God is, if we don't take it in for ourselves, we will not benefit from it. There are those who never take time to ask God for wisdom. And then there are those that ask and then don't take time to listen. Hebrews 5 and verses 11 to 14, the writer of Hebrews dealt with such believers who had every opportunity to sit down at the banquet of the wisdom of God, who had enjoyed some of the bread and water, and in this case the milk, but they just didn't want the meat. And they didn't get to all of the real dessert that God has for those that are faithful to take in the Word of God. Hebrews 5 and verses 11 to 14. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of a full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God wants his children to grow up. God wants his children to become strong and healthy. He wants them to be characterized by joy and peace and all the things that are characterized by a banquet. But if he prepares everything for us and we don't sit down and let it become a part of our life, if it doesn't change us, then we're not going to grow up spiritually. We're not going to be ready to rule and reign with Christ when he comes, which is what he desires for us. If you don't eat, you're going to become spiritually sick. It's all prepared. Not a lot of effort involved. Oh, yeah, there's some. You got to come to the table. You got to sit down. You got to put your hand in and pick it up again. There's some effort. But we're talking about a banquet. The wisdom of God. They will cause us to sit with Jesus Christ in his throne. May we apply it to our life. May we not be bashful. I've told this story before. I don't know if you remember or not, but it's one of those childhood memories that just, it'll be there in the nursing home. I'll be telling the person in the bed this story. There was a fellow there. He was semi-homeless. And whenever there was a meal, he liked to be there. He was faithful otherwise, too. But when he would come to a church dinner, he would bring his own plate. Well, no, that's not a bad thing. The only thing was, this plate was literally a serving platter that was about a foot and a half in diameter with edges. I mean, it was a platter, a serving platter. I can't remember whether it had Christmas decorations on it or what, but it was a tin platter. That was his plate, and he wasn't bashful. He filled it up. And we, as kids, would, of course, we'd kind of snicker. But you know, time and time again, the Lord says, I want you to be like Brother Delbert Carter, and I want you to fill up a platter. I want you to bring a platter, and I want you to fill it up. And I want you to come back, and I want you to fill it up again. That's what we are to be spiritually. Psalm 36. May we never get tired of coming to the banquet table. I know some of God's people that are tired of coming to the banquet table. Saints, may we just... I'm hungry, not for something new and different. I just want more of what God has for me. I want more and more and more of the good things that he has shown me in my life. Psalm 36, verses 5 to 9. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. Stop and think about that. This is the one who's invited us to his banqueting table. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. Do you know what it means when the Bible speaks of the fullness of the house of God? It's all the blessings that are there provided for us by submitting ourselves to the will of God in every area of our life. There's fullness in this life. There's fullness in eternity. And you give them drink from the rivers, from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life, in your light we see light. The word fullness there in that psalm, it means fatness. In the fatness of thy house, in the rivers, the river of pleasure and light. Don't just nibble, saints. When you come to the table that God has for you, the word of God, the instruction of God, the revelation of the plans and the purposes of God, They will fill you up. They will satisfy you. They will give you strength. They will cause you to grow up and be ready when Jesus comes. Everyone who responds to the invitation of the Great Supper that we started out with in Luke, the invitation to salvation, will be present at another great feast. I believe the greatest feast and banquet that there will ever be in time and eternity. Let's go to Revelation 19 where we read of that. Everyone who's accepted Jesus as their Savior will have a place at this banquet that is described for us in the future. But where you sit at the table is being determined right now by how much you're taking in of what God has provided for you in this life at His banqueting table. How much of the Word of God you have let into your life and let it transform you and become a part of your life and who you are and what you say and what you do. Let the Word of God change you. Saints, may the Spirit of God understand that we don't have time to play church, saints. Jesus is coming. And until He comes, we have a job to do. We are His ambassadors. There are those that need to be saved that we can be used as an instrument to give them this invitation. Come and drink of the water of life. And then there are many of God's people that are sitting in church and they are starving because they are feeding on error. They're feeding on things that are contrary to the Word of God, or they're simply having the milk of the Word week after week after week. Saints, we need to understand the time is short. We need to be willing to invite others to the banquet of the Word of God. The whole counsel of God, as the Apostle Paul said, because we need to be ready when Jesus comes. We need to give others the opportunity to be ready when Jesus comes, because there is coming another day. There's another banquet. Where you sit in this future banquet is going to depend on how much you've taken in of the banquet today. I want to sit at the head table. Oh, you say, Brother Doug, that's so arrogant. If my Father had not said to me, Doug, I want you to sit with my son. If Jesus in His Word had not said, Doug, I loved you so much, I came to the cross to die for you. And I didn't come just to snatch you from hell. I came to prepare you to sit with me. If my Father and my Savior had not revealed those things to me, then yes, it might be arrogant for me to say, I want to sit at the head table. But since they said it, and since that's what thrills their heart, since that's their plan and their purpose, it is arrogant of me to reject that. And I don't want to arrogantly reject anything my Father has graciously provided for me. I don't want to reject anything that my Lord has graciously died to give me. I want to sit at the head table with my Lord and my Savior. But am I eating today? Am I taking every opportunity to be at the banqueting table today? Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice. We don't know the day. Oh, the joy of the Lord. I've experienced the joy of the Lord in this life. My saints, I'm looking forward to that joy. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. How'd she do that? By feeding at the banquet table, by preparing a garment that was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for that fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. You can't do those acts if you don't eat. You can't have strength to do what's right in God's sight unless you eat of the Word and the will of God. And then He said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said to me, these things are the true sayings of God. Saints, He's calling us today. I'll just refer you to two passages. Do you remember after Jesus had risen from the dead and His disciples were out fishing and they saw somebody on the shore? And they were looking and trying to figure out who it was. And Jesus said to them, come and dine. Come and dine. And when they got there, see, they had just been fishing. But when they got there, he was already grilling the fish. He didn't need them to bring anything. But oh, then to me, this is always so expressive of the fellowship we have with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, hey, fellas, bring some of what you caught too. We're going to share this together. Do you realize how privileged we are to be the ambassadors of Christ? He invites us to all that he is and all that he has. I think of the 23rd Psalm. In the presence of our enemies, he sets before us a table. Yeah, there's enemies out there, but there's sweet fellowship in the banqueting table of Jesus Christ. I rejoice this morning in knowing that he's invited me to this banquet, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Let's stand this morning. You're welcome to come. Spend some time around the altar. We'll wait and have a time of prayer to thank the Lord for the food when we get in there. But tonight, let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I do pray that the Holy Spirit will do what mere words cannot do. And I pray that you would burn within every heart and mind of the children, young people, older ones, the love of God that sent your Son to redeem us from an eternity of darkness, death, and to give us a hope that shall never die. Lord, I pray that revelation would burn within us. We think of your prophets of old who many times became discouraged. But as Jeremiah said, oh, I tried to keep quiet and I couldn't because you put a fire within us. Lord, I pray that we would allow it to be stirred up by the Spirit of God. It would be stirred to faithfulness. It would be stirred to love one another. It would be stirred to invite others. But most of all, Lord, may we be strengthened to stand with you whether anyone stands or not. May we be willing to keep our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would take advantage of the banquet of love that you prepared for us and that we would be transformed. May we never be satisfied with leaving this place or leaving a reading of the Word of God, a meditation of your Word. May we never be satisfied with leaving as we came. But Lord, change us from glory to glory to glory that we might enter into the fullness of your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.